The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Wow. They did the epidural, and the epidural was flawless.
It worked.
It worked, and I was shaking, but like the good kind of shake that you're like not in pain. You're just excited to be there shaking and not in pain.
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where you'll gain the knowledge and confidence you need to erase the unknowns of pregnancy and birth and rock the newborn days like a boss. My name is Liesl Thiem. I'm a fellow mom, labor and delivery nurse, and your host. Each week on this podcast, you'll hear a mix of birth stories, expert interviews, and other fun pregnancy and birth-related content. As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Please see mommylabornurse.com/disclaimer for more details. And now let's get into this week's episode. Hey guys, happy Monday. So how did you like that new intro? We got a new music sample that we're going to be using in the intro, and I recorded a new intro, and we're also going to use it in the outro. Just excited for changes. So this week I have a really, really amazing three birth stories for you. She said three children. Do you guys follow Maya Vorderstrauss? She has been out there in the blogging world. I think she said it since 2016. So that's like five years, which in the blogging world, that's a pretty long time. So she is coined that one letterboard mom. She's like the OG of making letterboard pictures on Instagram. She was doing it before anybody else hopped on that train, before I hopped on that train. She is like the OG when it comes to letterboards. So if you don't follow Maya on Instagram, do yourself a favor and go look her up right now and follow her, because she brings me so much happiness when I see her page. So Maya, I reached out to her. I've been following her for a while, and I reached out to her because I wanted her to come on and tell about her three children, her three birth stories that she's had. So if you're not familiar with who Maya is a mom, obviously, of three. Her first two daughters are Irish twins. So that means that she had one baby and then she got pregnant a few months later, and she had her second daughter only a few days before her first one turned a year. So her first two are very close in age, and then she has a little boy. He's very, very cute. She has a little boy who is about a year and a half. So she came onto the podcast today and talked in depth about all three of her births. And I got to say, this birth story, all three of them, this episode, I got chills a few times when she was talking, and I'm not going to spoil the episode for you. She's a wonderful storyteller, and you guys are going to love her. But she talked through her births, and she talked through a lot of her struggles with postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD, and just having two children back to back. So Maya is a lovely lady. You guys are going to love her, like I said. So let's get right into this week's episode. This episode of the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast was brought to you by Mommy Labor Nurse. I've seen it in the delivery room time and time again. Mamas that complete some kind of childbirth education before they're due have a more positive birth. So then why do less than one-third of all moms take a birth class? Probably because so many of the options out there are either way too expensive, super inconvenient, or just don't offer mamas really what they need. That's why I created the Birth It Up online birthing classes. With Birth It Up, you'll gain the in-depth knowledge and confidence you need to have a better birth from the comfort of your own home at a price point that can't be beat. Head on over to mommylabornurse.com/courses to find the birth class that's right for you. And now let's get into this week's episode. Hi, Maya. Welcome to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Liz. I'm so excited to be here and share all about my births.
Yeah, I know you've had three, right?
Yes. Three births. Yeah, very awesome, different.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm excited. Don't spoil anything. We're going to get into all of it. But can you just start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your family, where you're from, what you do, all that good stuff?
My name is Maya Vorderstrass. I am a mom of three, two Irish twin girls and a boy. I was born and raised in Brazil, and I moved to America when I was 22. And now we live in Georgia, where I'm a mom blogger, and I talk about the ups and downs of motherhood. And I'm super open about my mental health journey and especially how we changed after kids. Yeah, that's my short story.
Yeah, no, I love it. I've been following you for a while, and you do lots of letterboard stuff. You were starting to do letterboard stuff before I was even doing letterboard stuff before I was mommy. So you go way back. When did you start blogging?
I started after I got pregnant with my second baby, so in 2016.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah. So you're one of the OGs. That's a long time blogger.
Oh, thank you. That's nice.
Cool. So we are doing a birth story, obviously, today, guys. Mm-hmm. So Maya, usually what I ask people to do is kind of go back to your first one. If you had any issues getting pregnant, or if you had any, you know, if you're open to sharing, if you had any losses in the beginning or anything like that, kind of go back and tell me, that journey of you getting pregnant the first time, and then we can talk about that birth.
Sure. Luckily, we didn't have any issues. We decided after 2 years of marriage that it was probably a time to try for a baby. And it was actually, I was very, very caught off guard because I got off the pill and then a month later I was pregnant. I had no idea it was going to be that fast. I was shocked and, you know, I knew nothing, right? I knew nothing. So it took us about a month of trying. And I found out I was pregnant during the Walking Dead conference in New York City.
Nice.
You're nice. Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. So wait, whoa. How did that happen? How did you find out? Did you like pee on a stick in the middle of
it? Yeah, I did. I ran to Walmart because I felt so weird. And my husband stayed there because we were waiting there because I bought the package to take a picture with Daryl Dixon. And because I love him. And I was like, I'm feeling weird, but I didn't tell him what was happening. I was feeling. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm 4 days late. What the heck? Probably getting off the pill. So he stayed there waiting in line, and I ran to Walmart, grabbed the test without talking to him, and I didn't tell him. And then we went home at the end of the day, and then that's when I told him I found a present for him, and I gave him the stick, and we were shocked. I fell on the bathroom floor. I actually had like a kind of an anxiety attack because it's shocking. The first time is shocking.
It is.
You don't even process until like months later.
Yeah. It's a feeling like none other finding out you're pregnant. That's for sure. Yeah. I think, you know, obviously it's different for a lot of people. Like some people are super, super crazy excited. Some people are like, oh my God, this is totally unwanted. Like what's going on? And then other people have an anxiety attack like you did, or other people are just, their heart starts beating. Yeah. So, all right. So tell me how that pregnancy was.
So, that pregnancy was, I've always had issues with fainting. I have something called vasovagal, and my body kind of shuts down when I'm under stress or when I'm anxious for struggling with anxiety in my whole life. So, there was a lot of fainting. There was a lot of swelling. There was a lot of, not knowing what was going on. I was so clueless. And I think that's what sparked in my heart to share my own journey, because all I saw online 5 years ago was, you know, absolutely perfect pregnancies with, you know, the perfect pictures and, you know, the perfect marriage and all that. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so not me. Of course I was excited and super happy. That's what I wanted. I was so happy it was a girl, but it took a huge toll on my body. Everything changed, everything stretched. I was fainting a lot. I was swelling a lot, and it was just way harder than I pictured, way harder than assigned movies. But thankfully nothing ever, you know, the baby was fine the whole time. It was just me and my mind and my body. It was very challenging, but also great because I learned, you know, for the next times that I was pregnant, I learned the first time the hard way, that is not picture perfect, but it's all worth it. Right. Because then you get your baby.
It is. Absolutely. So let's flash forward to that birth. Now, did you go term with that baby?
Yeah.
You were full term? Okay.
I did. That birth was my nightmare birth out of my three babies. So all of my pregnancies were incredibly different and all of my births were super different. So for that birth, the doctor, I didn't know anything, right? The doctor said, you know what, I need to fit you in a schedule. So we're going to do an induction. My body was showing no signs of labor or anything, except for Braxton Hicks. And then when I was 40 weeks exactly, he was like, we're going to induce you because my schedule is too busy. So I was like, that's interesting. I didn't know that I should fit the doctor's schedule, but okay. I mean, what do I know? Right.
Yeah.
So I think it was 40 weeks one day. And I went in there at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was very interesting because I had never heard about it. It was like a pill that they put in me and it was supposed to start the whole process. And I was on it for about, I think, 12 hours to wait for that pill to work. And then Pitocin and a few other things, I can't remember very well. But the interesting thing was that my epidural didn't really work very well. So I had those contractions that were not really my body's natural contractions because I was being induced. Not that I understand any of it, but they were very, very painful, much more painful than a different birth that I had. Right. So you could tell that it was an induction contraction and I felt everything. It was very hard. I don't know why the epidural didn't really do its job. But yeah, it was very stressful. During the night, I remember this is a part that's very, I've never shared this before, but I'm going to because I think I'm in therapy and I'm talking about some things that scarred me in the past, but it's really good because I'm trying to get over some traumas. And a traumatic event happened there at about 3 o'clock in the morning. A resident doctor that I had never seen before, she walked in and she said, I'm going to check you. And my cervix is in a weird spot and it was really painful to check. So my OB said, you know, you don't have to get checked until, you know, the morning, we'll figure it out. It's fine. She walked in and she said, I'm going to check you. I said, no, the doctor said I didn't have to because it's very painful. And she was like, well, get over it. You're a mom now. And she literally opened my legs like this, spread my legs open. And she literally violated me. Literally. So I didn't know better. My husband was sleeping next to me and he woke up from my scream and I sobbed for probably an hour because I felt so violated. And so I said no repeatedly to her that I didn't need to get checked. And a nurse came in after hearing me screaming and she shooed a resident away. And she was like, I'm so sorry. Some residents are overworked and super tired and she shouldn't have done that. And she removed her from the board of my staff.
Absolutely not. That is
absolutely not right.
That is abuse. I mean, if that's assault. If you want to call it something, that's absolutely assault.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that that happened. That is not acceptable at all.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought it was. Yeah. And then I told my best friend who is a labor and delivery nurse and she was like, you should have sued the hospital, but that's a whole, you know, I didn't know anything back then. Now I would have stood up for myself, but you know, you live and you learn. And it was a very painful experience. And that kind of set the tone for the whole birth because I was already very vulnerable and then something like that happened. So it was very traumatic and disrespectful and all. And then I guess I was ready to push at 1 p.m. the next day. And I pushed for an hour and 40 minutes. And it's so bizarre because I was in so much pain, right? Because the epidural kind of didn't work. And there was blood coming through my pores. It was the craziest thing. My whole face was like bloated and my eyes were bloodshot. So I was like, what is happening? Like, it's not supposed to be like this, right? It was very, very different than I expected.
You had like little dots all over your face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called petechiae. It just happens when you get really, really like when somebody's pushing, when you're under a lot of stress or your body's pushing really, really hard, using a lot of effort, you get that those little dots called petechiae. We see it in moms who push, but it can be alarming. I remember seeing it on my face after having both of my children. Like it kind of shows up, like it kind of showed up right here. Mm-hmm. Happens a lot to moms in first trimester throughout your pregnancy. If you vomit a whole lot, that's another one where you're using a lot of intra-abdominal muscles. So you're like pushing a lot with your face. So you can have, that can happen. But
Yeah,
well, I'm glad to know. Nice. It wasn't
just me. Yeah, it was like super intense. I was like, I was not ready for this. Like, I didn't learn about this in the class, you know?
And yeah. No, I guess you're right. They don't really teach you that your face can blow up like that and you can get a lot of swelling and have like all these broken blister kind of looking things all over your face.
So. Absolutely. And I didn't know any of it. And it was, I was like, I just want my baby to be okay. Because I was pushing for like almost 2 hours. And I was like, oh, okay, when's she coming out and all that. And then she came out and it was amazing. I cried my eyes out. And it was very, very awesome to see, you know, my husband cutting the cord and all that. And then the doctor was like, you know, now we're going to get the placenta out. And I'm like, get what out?
Yeah.
And then I birthed the placenta. I had a lot of hemorrhage and all that. But thankfully, I tore a 4th-degree tear and so all the things
jeez,
yeah,
you went through the ringer.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have it much worse than I did. I know a lot
but no more don't say that
yeah right that. Look at me gaslighting myself.
No, you're right, but you're right in a sense that there are certain things that happen to people and you have this, you know, scale on your own. You think like, oh, my story is not as terrible as this, that, and the other, but it's still your story and you still went through it and it's still, you know, it's still yours. So I want to ask you though, I know you said in the beginning that you struggled with some mental health issues. So was this after your first one or was that after your second one? Tell me kind of what happened after you had your first daughter.
Sure. My whole life I had generalized anxiety disorder with panic. That's something that I was used to since my teenage years. But after, I think the kind of, to me, it was traumatic. So my traumatic birth. And so the doctor, I had my 6-week appointment. I was fine. I was okay. Colicky baby and all that, but I was getting through, I was getting by okay. And then when I was 8 weeks postpartum, I got pregnant again. So that was a very, you can imagine it was the surprise of my life, right? And I do think that not being able to have a little bit of time somewhere there to have recovered before getting pregnant with a second baby was when my body was like, what the heck is going on? Something is not right. And I developed postpartum depression, which is something that I did not acknowledge until I was about 15 months postpartum with my second baby. After a lot of postpartum rage and breaking a few things and not understanding and a lot of shame about around what was going on. Because I'm known as like a happy mom, right? On Instagram. Yeah. And to me, it was so hard to admit that I had a problem because I punched a hole through the wall in my bedroom one day that I was super, super angry. So that I developed postpartum depression. I got diagnosed and I went on Zoloft for 6 months. And it saved my life, saved my marriage, saved me being a mom and saved everything. And a lot of alone time, a lot of Zumba time, a lot of taking care of myself and acknowledging that it wasn't my fault. Those things just happen. Things change after birth. Your brain changes. Everything changes. The pressure, learning how to be a new mom. And I had to learn how to be a mom and add in a second colicky baby on top of all of that. So my daughters are the same age for 8 days. Like that's how crazy it is. So
that is insane.
Yeah,
that is
insane. It's insane. I went through a lot and my mental health did too. So it was really amazing and liberating and very powerful to acknowledge that things change after birth. And I'm still a good mom despite all those things.
Yeah. So tell me, Maya, how was that second pregnancy after just giving birth? Yeah. You know, 8 weeks ago, like how was that pregnancy different than your first one?
It was the most flawless, Pinteresty, Instagrammable pregnancy of all time. I didn't find out I was pregnant until I was 11 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
No nausea, no bloating, no absolutely nothing. Everything was perfect. And then I didn't get my period for like 3 weeks. And I was like, that's weird. So yeah. I took 7 pregnancy tests because I was like,
I'm sure you were like, what?
I wanted to have said yes, but I was like, I blurted out a very bad word and I was like, what? And then, I took 7 pregnancy tests and I called him and I said, come home. I have something to tell you. And everyone was in denial, me, my parents, like everybody. But it was like 3 days before I turned 12 weeks pregnant. Wow. And
it was great because basically my first trimester was over. I barely gained any weight. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because I gained about, I think, 40 something pounds with my first. And that was really hard on my ankles and all that, all the bloating and swelling. So the second time around, I gained 20 pounds. And it was just great. I was just doing things. I was organizing my house. And Zoe was learning how to walk and all those things. And it was perfect. It was great. It was a beautiful pregnancy. It was really beautiful. I'm really thankful that I had that after such a hard first pregnancy. And that's how the pregnancy went. It was really, really great.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's get into her birth because you had girl, boy, right?
Yes.
Boy. Okay. I was thinking because I've seen that video on Instagram of you finding out that you had a boy, but I couldn't remember if it was like the second one or the third one. So tell me second girl birth, how that went. Sure. Cause you said it was very different from the first time.
Yes. Very different. So, on her due date, August 2nd, 2017, I started contracting at like 10:30 PM and I was like, I started crying. So I was like, this is it. Because I with my first, I didn't have like natural contractions in my body didn't go into labor. But I felt that it was it, even though I had never felt before. So I started crying. I said, Tim, I think this is it. So my mom stayed with Zoe and we went to the hospital. I was already 6 centimeters dilated. They did the epidural and the epidural was flawless.
It worked.
And I was shaking, but like the good kind of shake that you're like not in pain. You're just excited to be there shaking and not in pain.
As a mom, it can be totally overwhelming trying to find out which products you should use with your little ones, especially when it comes to supplements and remedies. Not only do you want to make sure that the products you're using actually work, but you also want to make sure they're safe for your family. Meet Wellamints. Wellamints is a supple and remedy line for infants and toddlers with products for teething, tummy, vitamins and minerals, sniffle season, and more. Not only is every single product certified organic, but they're also bottled in glass and preservative-free, made with clean ingredients. I'm especially fond of their vitamin D drops and their diaper balm. Use the diaper balm on Ryland all the time because he has super sensitive skin and I just love the consistency of it. It's not white. It's like a clear consistency and it doesn't get everywhere. It's really, really, really great for his skin. My little guy never had issues with gas or tummy troubles, so I really didn't need gripe water, but that is also one of their most popular products too, their gripe water. Many of their products, like their gripe water, also need to be refrigerated after opening because they're preservative-free. Make sure you always read the directions on the box before administering and write the date on the bottle so you know when to toss it. Wellamints makes it super easy for new moms to prepare for baby's arrival with their bundles, like their Oh Baby bundle, which includes everything you may need in those early days. Like I just said, the gripe water, it's in there, the vitamin D drops, the diaper balm, along with lots of other great stuff. Make sure you add a Wellamints bundle to your registry or gift one to a friend. New moms often forget to register for products like these, but they are so nice to have on hand when you need them. No more running to the store in the middle of the night to grab gripe water. No, thank you. For a limited time, you can use my code LIESEL, LIESEL, for 15% off your entire order at Wellamints.com. This can also be stacked on top of their already discounted bundles. I can't wait for you to try these products. And now let's get right into this week's episode.
And it was just one nurse that was an absolute angel. It was a different hospital, by the way, because we had moved. It was a wonderful hospital. It was one nurse. And then at like 7:30 in the morning, she went to check on me and she was like, I see her head. So I'm going to go get the doctor real quick. And I'm like, what? I didn't feel any pressure. I felt nothing. Had no idea what was going on because the epidural was like, woo, it was so great. And then the doctor came in. He was an angel. And he was like, all right, after one push, she's going to come out. And I'm like, yeah, right. So my husband starts laughing, right? Because the first time was a disaster.
Yeah.
And I was like, mm-hmm. And he was like, all right, take a deep breath and push for me. Basically half a push, she was out.
Wow.
Didn't feel anything. I didn't tear.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. After a fourth degree tear, you didn't tear at all.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's awesome.
It was dream come true. And for my first birth, I brought in my little manila folder with a birth plan, right? And one of the resident doctors, she laughed at me. And she was like, yeah, we don't do birth plans here. And she put it back in my bag. And so for the second birth, I didn't bring anything. I was like, well, they're not going to take it. And Tim was like, oh, can I cut the cord after my second was born? And the doctor was like, not yet. We're going to do delayed cord clamping and give the moms. And I was like, wait a second. What is all of this respect? What? This is beautiful. It was a very organic, like easy, you know, didn't have like 10 student medicine students staring at me and all that. So it was very peaceful. And I'm very glad that I had that experience because it kind of changed my whole outlook on pregnancy and it kind of took away some of the trauma of what I went through. And it was really, really nice.
No, that's amazing. At that point, were you even aware of the trauma that you experienced the first time?
No.
I mean, I know that you knew that it had happened, but were you aware at all of it?
No, it was only after like my second day at the hospital, I requested to go home because I was so well that I just wanted to go home to my other baby. And I told my husband, I said, what happened in the other hospital was not normal.
Yeah.
I had never been through two experiences that were basically the same thing, but so different. And I said, look at the abuse that I went through in the hospital. Like that was not acceptable and not okay. But you know, a year had been gone by and like, how could I even get justice for what happened? You know?
Yeah.
And it was just very painful to acknowledge that. But also I was thankful for me and for my new baby that she went into the world in a respectful manner and that I was in a better headspace to just, you know, care for her. But yeah, that's only a couple of days later that I acknowledged that what I went through was not normal and it should never be normal, never be accepted. And the more information about this that we have out there, the better, because I had never heard of this. I didn't know that that could happen or not that that could happen, but like you have to be aware of things that don't feel natural to you or don't feel right and are uncomfortable. You should speak up. Today, I would have yelled in her face and called the police. Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's go into your third birth.
Yes.
With your third pregnancy with your son. So I want to hear, I know that there was a little bit of a time, like your daughters are older.
Yeah.
And how much time was in between and then like getting pregnant with him and finding out that he was a boy. And then we'll get into his birth.
Yeah. So I think it was a little bit more than 2.5 years. Tim and I, we were talking and we started getting baby fever at the same time, which we were not expecting because having two babies back to back, when you're in it, when you're in the situation, when it's happening and both of them are like 11 months old and 0 days old, it was very overwhelming. So we thought that was it. But then around 2.5 years later, we started getting baby fever at the same time. And Tim was like, can we go for it? And it's not because we wanted a boy at all. It was just, we wanted another one. And so we started trying and it took about 3 or 4 months for me to get pregnant. And when I found out, I was super duper excited, which was nice because I think that I finally had a different reaction to pregnancy that wasn't shock. It was just, yes. Like it was like, yes. So you
like, I did it.
Yes, we did it. Yes. And you know, I knew what to expect and my world wasn't being turned upside down. It was just something that we really, really wanted and we knew what to expect. So we found that out and I thought it was going to be another girl and so did Tim. But we went for that ultrasound. And we're like, please don't tell us. We want to find out. And we did the balloon at home and we found out. When I found out I was a boy, I was in so much shock that my reaction seems very dramatic in video, but it was just, it was very shocking because you're only used to one thing. I had two girls. So it's very... Yeah. It's a good uncertainty to have and, you know, what to expect and, you know, even different things to buy for them. But it was just, I get to offer my girls a little boy. It was like really nice to think.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. It was a very, very good feeling to have, you know, to be able to experience having a boy. And we were all still are, of course, very, very happy.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. So tell me, how was that pregnancy like in comparison to, so you had one like crazy horrible pregnancy and then you had an Instagram pregnancy.
Yeah.
How was his pregnancy? All right.
right. That baby crying means it is time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. All right. So this submission is from Ina Jonathan. I think that's how you say her name. It's from Ina on Instagram. So this one was only a few days ago, actually. So Ina says, I took your Birth It Up Natural Series course. I watched it at 16 weeks, then again at 34 weeks. I felt so prepared going into labor. I had a plan in my head that I wanted to have a safe, healthy, and unmedicated delivery, but knew the main goal was safe and healthy for baby and mama. I was able to deliver unmedicated, and as a first-time mom, only pushed for 17 minutes. All of my nurses and doctors were so impressed with how educated I was as a first-time mom throughout my pregnancy, and I attribute it completely to your course. Thank you so much. That is so sweet. Thank you so much. I love when people say, you know, I love for you guys to have the births that you want to have. Of course, this mom was successful in going unmedicated. That's what she wanted to do. But I so much love it when you guys say, I felt prepared. I felt educated. I felt ready going into birth. That is what I am trying to achieve when I am putting out these birth courses and when I'm having you guys take these birth courses. So that just warms my heart when people say that they felt super prepared and super ready. So if you are interested in checking out the course that Ina took, she took the Natural Series. So you can head over to mommylabornurse.com and click on the Natural Series to learn more. All right, let's get right back into this week's episode.
So his pregnancy for the first and second trimester, it was first trimester, lots of nausea, lots of vomiting and all that. Second trimester, blissful, amazing, cute dresses and all that. And then we moved to Georgia from New Jersey. And that's when issues started just because I was on bed rest for about 2 months because I had a 2-centimeter kidney stone.
Ooh.
Yeah. Usually you hear 2 millimeters, right? It's a tiny stone.
Yeah.
The size of a grain of sand. I had a 2-centimeter kidney stone that we didn't know that I had. So I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk. Oh. I couldn't pee. I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. It was incredibly, you can imagine. I'm not even going to try to describe the pain that I went through, but we didn't know. And I fell at 37 weeks. I slipped in the bathroom and I fell and I bruised my tailbone. So yeah, I know. My daughter was in the bathtub and she started splashing water. I was like, Zoe, please don't splash water. And I slipped and I fell and I went to the ER. It was horrible. But that's how we found out because I fell.
And they did a scan and they saw, okay.
And then we saw that's the reason why I was in so much pain. It was because I had a 2-centimeter kidney stone that I had removed a month after he was born. Yeah, it was, but it wasn't my pregnancy. It was because of the stone.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Did that affect labor at all with him?
I don't think that it did. No.
It didn't really affect it. Okay.
No, I couldn't walk anymore. So I probably because of that, I think my body was so exhausted from fighting the pain for so long that when I got there at labor and delivery, I was like, I don't know if I'm in labor, but I can't be home anymore. So they took me in.
So, okay. That's a good transition to his birth. Yeah. So tell me kind of the events surrounding, did you go into labor on your own with him or were you induced again or what kind
of happened? So I was in so much pain, but I couldn't tell what was kidney pain and what was being in labor. But oh my gosh, what was I? I was probably near 41 weeks, I think, or something like that. And I went to labor and delivery. I couldn't even walk out of the car. So they wheeled me in and I was 4 centimeters dilated. So they're like, we're going to take him in. I was crying a lot. I don't know why. Yeah. Every day, every time I had a baby, I just sobbed the entire day. I think you kind of feel that it's coming. It's a very weird feeling.
It is.
Yeah. And again, another super respecting hospital. Nurses were incredible. Doctors were incredible. I was in labor just overnight and then he was born in the morning. I pushed for about 8 or 9 minutes.
Okay.
And he came out perfect. He swallowed a lot of fluid. So it was very scary for me. My heart was out there and he could barely, you know, breathe and all that. And they were taking care of him for about, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes. But all of that, again, they did a delayed cord clamping without me asking. And they were took very, very good care of me. And I also requested to go home the next day. Because I just wanted to be home. Yeah. But it was not eventful at all.
Yeah. Well, good. I mean, that's a good way to like end things, right? You don't want it to be like crazy, like eventful at the very end. Yeah. I do want to ask you, Maya, if you don't mind sharing your breastfeeding journeys with each of your children, because I know with your son, you just stopped, right?
Right. I just stopped.
Right. Okay. Okay. So tell me about, journeys for each one of them.
Right. So, breastfeeding the three times was incredibly painful for me. The first like 2 or 3 weeks, like unbelievable pain. And I pushed through it, but it was incredibly painful. It wasn't like a natural thing that just happened to me. It was just a lot of work, a lot of lactation consultants and all that. With my first daughter, we breastfed for 5 months, and then my milk dried up because of I got pregnant. So for some reason,
which is very common, very common.
I see so many pregnant women nursing their toddlers. They're able to, then I think it's incredible, and I think it's great. I just didn't know that you could lose your milk, and it did, and it shattered my entire world, and it was very hard for me. And I'm pretty sure that that also contributed to my postpartum depression, because I felt like a failure at the time, not knowing, again, first baby, didn't know that I'm definitely not a failure for putting my baby on formula. My milk disappeared, and we started doing formula, same bond. It was beautiful, but it was just for the little transition to adjust from being a vessel to her, to watching her take a bottle, was painful for me. And then it wasn't anymore. And then it was great. I love the convenience of bottles. And I just love that my husband could give it to her too. And that was after she was 5.5 months. And she was always very happy with her bottle. And then for my second daughter, we extended breastfed for about 22 months. She was 22 months when I decided to stop. I was super touched out. I couldn't, it was beautiful. It was amazing. But she was like incredibly codependent. And she wouldn't settle. She didn't have a pacifier. She would not do anything without nursing. And at some point, it kind of like, you're like, I think it's time to have my body back, especially because we wanted to have another baby. So we decided to end, and it was painful too, emotionally. But it was an easy transition for me. It was painful for the first few days, but I didn't get engorgement. It was very, very, very easy transition. And then for my third baby, Archie, I developed postpartum OCD with him. So it was just a lot of mental health stuff going on. So, having being on my third baby, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop now, because this time I don't want to punch a hole through the wall. So let's just assess the situation. So I was diagnosed with postpartum anxiety and postpartum OCD with intrusive thoughts and all that stuff. So I was like, you know what? Let's wean, because he was starting to get, would only settle with nursing and all that, and was waking up 1,000 times a night. And although I'm very thankful that we had beautiful, successful breastfeeding journeys, I do think that it's very important to know your limit and know when to stop, because you also deserve attention, and you also deserve care. And you having to stop doesn't mean they're a failure. It just means that you're respecting your body, and they're going to get over it. They're going to have to wean at one point or another, you know? So, I think it was a good timing for us at 16 months to stop. He's thriving. He's doing super well. More independent, and still won't take a bottle, the stinker, but we're working
on it. Well, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Now tell me, you said you had postpartum depression, the first kind of go around. Right. And going into your second one, and now this third time with the anxiety and the OCD, how were those different for you? Like, what did your brain, what sorts of differences did you feel?
Okay. So with postpartum depression, I was incredibly sad, and I had rage. I was just angry the whole, not the whole time. I just developed rage after my second. And I was sad, nothing would make me happy. And it's interesting how it differs from woman to woman, but like, I didn't have a problem bonding with them. I felt connected to them instantly, but, I was triggered by many things. So when both of them, cause they're so little, when they screamed at the same time, it was triggering. So I would have a panic attack and, slam the cabinet door, never touch them. Ever, but I would slam a cabinet door. I would slam the door. I would just kick something like the couch or something. And it was something so real and so overwhelming and so shameful that, I would do that would happen to me during the day. And when my husband got home, like, of course I wouldn't tell him because he heard too much to say and to admit. And then that one day I punched a hole in the wall. He got home. I was like, I have something to show you. And I broke down. And he was like, I love you. Let's go get help. That's all he said. And he gave me a hug. He was like, let's go get help. You're not okay. This is not you. He could see the difference in my behavior. And it was obviously time to get help. And now after my third, thankfully, it's not postpartum depression, which I'm happy for because depression just makes you really sad. And I had no motivation and I was just depressed the whole time. And with postpartum anxiety and OCD, my biggest issues have been intrusive thoughts of my kids dying, getting hurt, falling down the stairs, falling into a lake. All of those things that we are always in dangerous situations. And these thoughts last a fraction of a second, but you are so immersed in those thoughts emotionally that it feels like you're actually going through that in real life. It's very confusing. And with the anxiety just being, I think the pandemic also played a part in the postpartum anxiety, obviously. So of course, the anxiety was just out of this world, and I was always restless and throwing myself in renovating projects and cleaning the house 1,000 times, not being able to go to bed without cleaning the house and racing thoughts and all that. So I was like, you know what, let's get assessed. So I got assessed by a psychiatrist, my obstetrician, and now I'm in therapy and I am on medicine, and things have been so great. I can even tell you, super, super great. Like the intrusive thoughts after the medication. Yeah. I'm still cheering. It's been like over like 2 months, I think. And I'm so, so happy. Medication changed my life. I'm just, I'm so chill now. And I'm saying yes to the kids.
I'm still on Zoloft because I had similar-ish. I've had anxiety similar my whole life, and I had postpartum anxiety both with my boys, and I never went on medication with my first one, but I did decide to go on medication with my second one. And I totally agree with you. It 100% changed my life. Like it just, it does something in your brain. You're like, wow.
Yes.
This is amazing.
I am so thankful for, and that's never something that I was embarrassed to admit. I was embarrassed to admit I had postpartum depression, but to go on medication, it was like, people studied for so many years to get to this point and provide us with medication that makes us better people. Why would we not be super excited to go on it? So, you know, I felt better to wean my son and then go on medication, just because it's not Zoloft this time. It's a different one because I have OCD now. But like I woke up the next day and Tim looked at me and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm doing great. I felt light and happy. And I felt like I was going to join a flash mob on the street. It was super, super exciting. And like, you know, of course I have hard days and stuff like that. But, but you know, I would say 90% of the time is just,
that's awesome. So I'm so happy for you. And that's great to say about the medication that it did work so quickly for you, because I think if you probably remember with the Zoloft, it probably took you a few weeks to kick in, right? Because the Zoloft, the antidepressant, that can take a little bit longer, but a lot of those anti-anxiety medicines, they're a lot quicker, like sometimes even the next day or within 48 hours, 72 hours. I have heard that. So that is very important to note. But Maya, thank you so much for sharing all of this. This was a wonderful, wonderful episode. I'm so happy that you came on to share. This is like therapy session with Liesl.
Right?
We're gonna rename the podcast Therapy Session with Liesl.
That's amazing.
But Maya, can you tell our listeners where they can find you on social media? Because I know you're all up on social media. So where can people find you?
Yeah, I focus on my Instagram and my account. My handle is Maya Vordestras. It's a name I got from my husband. It's his last name. It's a very long name, but Maya Vorderstrasse. And
hold on. Is he, what nationality is that?
He's from Germany.
Germany. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we got an European Latino mix in the family.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So you can find me on there, and we'll talk about the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Love it. Well, you guys definitely need to go check out her account because I love it. I love how real you are. And I love looking at pictures of your kiddos because they're so darn cute.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Maya, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so honored to have been on it. Thank you so much. Thanks.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and letting me be a part of your motherhood journey. It is truly an honor. If you like what you heard, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And I love hearing what you guys think of the podcast. So if you're liking what you hear or you have a suggestion, I'd be so grateful if you'd go ahead and leave me a review wherever you're listening to help more mamas just like you find the show. What do you think? Are you starting to feel a little more confident about your pregnancy and birth? Well, if you want more, be sure to head on over to mommylabornurse.com/podcast for today's show notes and a library of episodes so you can keep getting educated before your upcoming birth. And while you're over there, be sure to check out the blog and learn about our online birth classes. Find it all and more over at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. See you next week, same time, same place.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.